accumulation of all your decisions has brought you here, amidst the most epic time in history. Congratulations, you have seen much, yet the gears are shifting in your journey. Together we will
blast off through worlds of knowledge that will transform your reality. Be not afraid, for although fact is always stranger than fiction, knowledge is power, and super knowledge is superpower. This show will indeed empower you toward your potential as the superhero you are. So buckle up. This is Flash Gordon's Wonder Pod.
Okay, welcome back, listeners of the Wonder Pod. This week, I'm going to be doing something special. I'm going to be dedicating my report instead of dedicating it to We Are Change this week. It's going to be contributing to another website. It's very similar. It's called WikiWorldOrder.com. And the reason I've changed my mind and dedicating it to this website instead is not only was I deeply inspired by the interview by the guy hosting this website, Wiki World Order, on the James Corbett Report, and I'll link up to that onto the website, but also wanted to, pull together our resources. I've noticed that much like the Occupy, and that's what we'll be reporting on this week, is the continuation of the Occupy report on the inside. I've come to learn that my buddy Morgan from Wiki World Order is also covering the Occupy scene, and covering it in a very similar way. In fact, the same way, and that is the way we should always find out the truth. And we should always dig deep and report on things and find our own opinion. And that's actually going there, you know, and that's actually hitting the streets, so to speak. I mean that figuratively and metaphorically. You want to find out what's going on, you go there, you know, and you figure it out. And that's so much of the point of this report. And I have to tip my hat toward Morgan. I know he'll let me contribute to his website because he's just that awesome. But he's reporting on this scene better than I am because he's actually more deeply involved and more deeply engaged. Whereas I'm kind of the weekend warrior. He is actually living it and going there actually intending to get arrested sometimes. He is that hardcore. His report and his interview on the James Corbett report was probably not only the most hopeful, but the most in-depth report I've ever heard, okay, on the Occupy scene. Just because of the degree of involvement in it and because of what I know of Morgan, you know, very authentic and genuine. So he is covering Sacramento, the Occupy movement in Sacramento. I'm going to be talking about my weekend in San Francisco. And it showed up, I showed up actually, you know, pretty inspired. And with about 4 loaves of bread, peanut butter, just a ton of food, right? I figured that would like set me in solid with the scene, you know, it was important to me considering the last time I showed up the weekend before there was, you know, I had basically crashed their committee meeting and their general assembly. A crash is the wrong word. I was welcome there. But nonetheless, because it was a new, people saw me as a new face, and they saw a video camera recording around them, and they didn't know who I was, and I was indirectly accused of being police. And, you know, and I was dressed kind of nice, so I figured this time I'm going to camp with them, I'm going to earn their respect, I'm going to bring them food. And I showed up with food and my Tyranny Response Team t-shirt with big letters. And it turns out I really didn't need to bring the food. We had loaded it up. I remember bringing out the food to them, thinking it was a big deal. They had plenty. Apparently, it looks like they've been rocking peanut butter and jelly for quite a while. And not only that, but I was just greeted warmly regardless. It looked like last week they were talking, the one of the main objectives at the General Assembly was to whether or not to bring the encampment, because it was growing in scale, whether or not to bring it to Justin Herman Plaza, which is much bigger, kind of park type atmosphere. It's not really the park. It's kind of in the end of the Embarcadero. Very beautiful scene, under a bridge. It's gorgeous to be out there in this encampment. And so nonetheless, they voted on it last week whether or not to bring the encampment there, and it was there this week. None and also there is remnants of the old encampment. So there's actually two spots that people are staying. One is in front of the Federal Reserve Building, and that's kind of like the center of the hub of the activism. And the other one is is over at the Justin Herman Plaza, which is very beautiful. It's the tents, it's people kind of camping out. It's kind of like the protests being one's presence, basically the occupy scene. Instead of like sort of the as much of the public awareness, but nonetheless, say there is a strong public awareness center there. It's just kind of like home camp. Anyway, I was very warmly greeted by the folks at the Federal Reserve Center. I didn't even need to bring food, but nonetheless, they made a point of remembering my name, and I'm sure it didn't hurt. The scene over at the Federal Reserve in front there is much more personal. It's much more friendly. It's there's the tables, there's the information, there's just a general sort of love feeling. There's no conflict whatsoever, even though there's just as strong of a police presence, if not stronger, only because it's right there in front of the Federal Reserve, where of course Federal Reserve police are going to be are always going to have a presence there. So I dropped my stuff off. I actually showed up. I'm going to camp out this weekend. I'm going to camp out exploring the question, what on earth is going on here? And I'm going to not just talk to facilitators, but I'm going to talk to just people, just everyday people that I'm coming across there. It's greeted very warmly, dropped my stuff off. It felt like it was secure where it was, especially after talking to the guard. And, because there's actually a guy that's like guarding stuff. There's this whole community of people pooling together talents and volunteering, and it works. It works fine. So I'm gonna, go explore this new encampment, basically like the new scene, this new, area for the Occupy San Francisco scene. And it is quite impressive. I mean, after hearing so much about tent cities, because I've been watching The Walking Dead all week, which is, oh my God, there's tons of drama going on and, there, not just with zombies, but just people living in a tent city. This was a tent city that was not surrounded by zombies, and although there was dramas, not nearly as much drama as you would see on an AMC show. Just to paint the picture for you have the Bay Bridge kind of looming over on one side, the farmers market just across the street, and the big towering cities, buildings on the one side, whereas you have the bay on the other. It's beautiful scene, really epitomizing San Francisco. The particular corner that they've chosen has tarps set up along a walkway, if you can imagine that. And there's a welcoming tent that leads into a communications tent that leads into some other kinds of tent below. It's, they call it a spiritual center, I guess. So there's that. And then there's down below, there was lots of like sort of, I guess there were large bocce courts that there was a kitchen taking place on. And then, you know, just some kind of random tents kind of set up and about. When I had showed up, I had, it just like last time, you know, it's just this great timing. I seem to get right to the city about the time that they're hosting the committee meeting. So I hit up the committee meeting. Again, I'm not like, hey, who are you? You know, I mean, there's no one like the confrontational with me. I'm just welcome to sit down and listen in. And, you know, obviously there's a whole lot of deep, intense material, you know, worth hiding, really. I think that the main point of interest, there were two things that really stood out to me. One of them was that communists were taking over a projector and projecting communist movies in the evening, and there was some concern about whether or not, you know, what we should do about that, because that's, you know, not necessarily the voice of this whole movement. And that, you know, how that would reflect to the public eye, you know. And I was kind of like, had stood back, right? Like, oh, geez, man, because I was planning on dropping by and showing videos, not necessarily to infiltrate, but more just to educate. Maybe that was the communist objective. The other thing was, you know, who to send out for walkie-talkies. Apparently they need walkie-talkies to, you know, communicate with the Federal Reserve location. And, you know, I bet it would help out with marches as well. In fact, later on in the day, this is a Saturday, there's going to be a significant march at 3 p.m. And it's a strong subject as well, although it looks like much of the organization has already taken place because it hardly came up at the committee meeting. but nonetheless, everyone knows that there's this big march going on. So, so as they're talking about walkie-talkies and communists, you know, I mean, there's the drum music going on kind of in the background, people playing drums, and there's a kitten that just sort of burst out of a tent behind us and was crawling all over these facilitators, members, crawling all over their clipboards. It was very adorable. And I didn't get any sort of impression at all that there was some sort of script from General Headquarters again, okay, just to verify from my experience, although it's not quite, I mean, I'm just doing the weekend thing, okay? It's not as incredible and awesome as Morgan's. That guy's like light years ahead of me, okay? Just with his website and music videos. I know, without a doubt in my mind, that more people will follow in Morgan's footsteps and continue just to become the media. I just hope that I can do it as cool as he does. and it's quite an honor to be right behind him, I think, doing it. Or maybe a couple miles behind him, but still, like, in the scope of history, like, right behind him. Anyway, so the wrapping up the committee meeting, I mean, there's no governance from above. There's no central figure. You really get the impression people are working through this together. This leads into the General Assembly meeting, just like the following weekend. After the committee meeting follows the General Assembly. Now, keep in mind that last week, this was a moment of concern of mine, and it, you know, it might lead into some other things. In fact, I'm sure it will. Last weekend, there were more people that I saw at that General Assembly meeting than I saw throughout the rest of the encampment. I felt like they crawled out of the woodwork from somewhere to show up at this General Assembly meeting. I swear there were 100 people at least. I got the footage of it. And now there were a couple hundred, maybe, you know, a couple hundred people at the, living basically there, camping at this city, at this small little tent city, tribe, if you will. And at the General Assembly now, there's probably about 20 or 30 people like attending and participating in the General Assembly. And much of those people, including myself, were actually just chatting with other people. So not really participating to the degree that we should. I wasn't there to participate at that time. I'm still looking for the scoop. I want to know what the heck is going on. In fact, one of the subjects, the main subjects for the General Assembly and leading up to the march was trying to find volunteers for this march to carry speakers. You need five like strong, able men to carry speakers through the march. And I know I can do this. But I want to spend time and I want to volunteer at the camp so that I can talk to people there because I don't know whether or not I want to participate and engage in it. So I'm reluctant to volunteer. In the meantime, I'm talking with people and I'm trying to explore this question, you know, what's going on here and, you know, what's the scene and what's, you know, is there any drama comparable to a zombie apocalypse surrounding us, right? Is this the, you know, what's coming of this? So I'm chatting with one guy, and it was pretty cool. We were talking about the people that weren't at the assembly, you know, and the rest of the camp, and you know, and I guess the challenges of trying to govern, really, because that's what the objective of the General Assembly is. It's kind of a mock government that anyone can participate in, and they vote on things and they get stuff done, you know, and on little sorts of issues that come up that need to be taken care of. And they involve the rest of the tribe. So, you know, I mean, what kind of challenges would come up from trying to govern the rest of the tribe from people that aren't willing to participate in the governance and the whole process? The cat that I was also talking with, we'll just call him O, Big O, he was skeptical that the DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, there was this sort of like, you know, little building kind of a little bit across the street from us. It was like one of those little temporary buildings that you see from, you know, construction. Whether or not Homeland Security was there, I sort of peeked around. I didn't see anything, you know, I didn't see anything, we'll put it that way. But that's evidence, absence of evidence isn't necessarily evidence of absence. You know, and, you know, he had alluded to, Big O had alluded to something about, you know, trimming the fat, that there were possibly people that were there that maybe were just sort of absorbing resources that maybe didn't really want to, you know, didn't really get the whole picture, but just sort of enjoying the scene, like maybe just partying. And apparently I had also learned that there was an issue of things getting stolen. And these were valuables, these were cell phones, laptops, and things like that. So I'm like discussing all of this while the General Assembly's going on. And also paying some mind to the General Assembly and kind of what's going on there. And it wasn't really anything of too much interest to me. While I was chatting with Orion, or maybe that had faded away, I'm just sort of noticing in my voice notes that afterwards another cat came over. He had noticed my Tyranny Response t-shirt. And he recognized that and identified it as InfoWars. So he came over and we chatted it up about the, you know, the Federal Reserve and the you know, and co-opting, you know, vaccines, eugenics, and a lot of the people were, you know, pretty clueless to some of these subjects. And I have to admit that through talking with a lot of the people there, indeed, there was a strong consensus that capitalism was the problem, and, you know, I guess just some of the issues that I had brought up last week, that, you know, that I guess just, you know, some misunderstandings kind of about things, you know, the Tea Party. Although I didn't really hear that come up, you know, it was sensed that there was, you know, some, that there was the real bad guys. I really, you know what, I really can't speak to it because that's just sensed. Okay. So I'm kind of trying to get the scoop of things while I was there. and ended up talking with the people at the table. And, you know, I'd say, you know, you guys mind if I leave some of these DVDs that I burned here? It was Wake Up Call. I figure it's pretty strong elemental course. And two, some of these issues about what's going on, vaccines, the New World Order, you know, maybe some of these issues that the resistance and the Occupy scene, it would benefit them to know. And I felt like I might have to try to really sell them on this DVD, and they seemed really receptive to it. I said, hey, it goes into the history of the Federal Reserve. And, oh, wow, yeah, here you go, here's a spot for it. You know, they kind of looked at the disc a little bit. I, you know, wrote that, you know, some subjects along the side, Rothschilds, and 9/11, put it right next to the love dollars that I brought that were made by our beautiful Carol Brulé in this area. She prints, you know, these dollars that kind of end up in circulation and get very popular because there's all these little things that are printed inside of the dollars. Always a big hit wherever we go. So they're pulling up, while I'm talking with them, they're pulling up volunteers for the march. They're getting ready to go out on the march. They're announcing the march. Everyone's going to go out and march out and march through the city. I kind of decide to stick around. I'm trying to look for things to volunteer for. I kind of sign up. I did. I signed up to volunteer, and they never really got back to me on anything. It looked like it wasn't anything enforced. Like, hey, you know, I'm going to volunteer to, and I even said I want to volunteer for the worst possible thing. You know, garbage. I can pick up garbage. I can do anything. I wrote that on the page. Didn't send me a text or didn't call me or send me an email. I gave them all that information. And, you know, it looked like it was more run on initiative. If you want to see things sweep up, you got to just grab a broom, start sweeping it up, you know, and someone will help find you a broom. And there was a lot of energy there. In fact, as a point of example, I needed a cell phone charge. This was actually the following day, so I'm jumping ahead of a day. But, you know, just to give you an example of some of the feel there, I needed a cell phone charge. So I go over to the communications tent, which has actually probably about 6 or 7 batteries. And they're like on little wagons and things like that. And, and they have, like, this really cool system where it's on a bike. And you can, like, there's always someone there biking to power, and to charge these batteries. It's incredible. And from these charged batteries, they have like a live camera feed going, and they have a, laptops going where they, you know, can screen movies. I don't know if they do, but there seems to be always activity and an internet presence boosting and booming from the communications tent. They even had free Wi-Fi for our little tribe. Free Wi-Fi. So I go over to the tent, you know, and like I said, there's always someone pedaling. When I showed up, sure enough, there was a guy. He was wearing, like, biker's clothes. And I say, hey, you know, I'll tell you what, guys, get a phone charge and I'll bike for a little bit. Is that cool? You know? Oh, yeah, totally. Oh, you're just in time. The guy's sweating. So I start biking and I'll get to charge my phone. I mean, it's just like, you know, like, people contributing. And then when I was done biking, someone, oh my man, dude, you've been doing that for a while. Can I take over? And I seriously I told myself I was going to bike until someone came along and took up the shift. That might've been an hour. And I was wearing jeans and boots and it didn't even matter. I felt good to contribute to this kind of tribe. You wanted to, because it was a strong emphasis of love. There's just lots of receptiveness in the air. While I was biking, coincidentally, apparently someone from the Occupy scene in LA came up, and I got to eavesdrop in a very cool information, considering I came there to get the buzz. And from LA, they were discussing terms, and they had to redefine their terms. Oh, really? That's not, you know, the role of, you know, the General Assemblyman down there. We, you know, it's, that shouldn't, you know, be that way. Well, that's kind of the way we do it here. Obviously not on the same page. They're doing it differently in LA than they're doing it up here. They had tips for one another. For instance, in LA, they had moved the General Assembly earlier on in the day to help facilitate for campers. No, I'm sorry, because there were people that were camping out. I can't remember, but nonetheless, there were some tips. I probably should have taken notes. And I will promise do better next time. It's always a process. I can verify though for out of doubt, it took like just 10 minutes for them to kind of reassemble terms and try to get the gist of what's going on. Apparently they don't have, the person from LA was very envious of the bike and the batteries. They did not have that kind of, those kinds of luxuries that we had. And, although they did have a lot of celebrities, there was like talk of, oh yeah, well we had, you know, Tom Morello and they had Santana or something. I don't know. Someone had Santana. We're trying to get Santana. They were swapping contact, you know, offering to swap contact information for celebrities. It was incredible conversation to listen into. Keep in mind, I did have drum beats going on one ear and the actual sound of my bicycle going on in the other. While I was, you know, putting back on my boots, you know, because I wasn't going to pedal with the boots on, there was a guy that came into the communications tent that had misread, and keep in mind, there were more people that misread my shirt than actually read the shirt right. My tyranny response team was actually misread as tranny response team more often than not. And so this guy, he was pretty flame, and he came, oh my, tranny response, that's great! I need a cigarette! I won't give me a cigarette. Oh my God. So I need a cigarette. Does anyone have a cigarette and a mirror? I need to look cute for the fundraiser that I'm an hour late for. Oh my God. Someone give me a cigarette. And, you know, and sure enough, no one had a cigarette for him. I could tell you there were a ton of people smoking cigarettes, but no one had, like, everyone was rolling their own. And we're on the cheap here. This is real tent city living, okay? And he showed up back, I think he showed up about 5 minutes later. He had some short shorts on, and I guess he found a mirror. He seemed to feel like he was cuter or something, you know, like he was a little bit happier, but he still couldn't find a cigarette, which he was very bitter about. But yeah, only in San Francisco would my tyranny response team shirt get misread as tranny response team. So, skipping back though a day, just trying to get the beef on things. You know, I hit back up the Federal Reserve building. There's a photographer that wanted to take, you know, a picture of me and the shirt. I guess she loved it. There were a lot of people that really loved the shirt. And then I kind of go back to the encampment, and I'm kind of like, I'm trying to figure out, you know, like, well, I know that I can make a strong case here that it's not being, that I can, to answer my question about what's going on here, whether or not this really is resistance, or whether or not, you know, it's been funded by the, what was it? Oh my God, I had just read some articles this week about the Occupy scene. It was so dismal. Bill Cooper brought up the Occupy movement. Although I didn't read the article, I had guessed it was about how there would be this strong movement, you know, toward peace and happiness on the earth, and it would be all new agey, and it would pave the way for the one world religion. I'd also read that the Vatican saying that this whole Occupy scene is obviously, you know, the world calling for global governance, and that George Soros, oh God, is the doctor true odd. If you conspiracy people know who Dr. True odd, Those of you who haven't, who don't know what I'm talking about, you're not missing anything. Okay, it's total fear porn. Anyway, his contribution toward this whole thing, and this whole George Soros is funding the Occupy scene since its inception, and I hear tons of attacks. As easy as it is for people to sniper in on this movement from a distance, it's much harder to actually go there and to figure out what's going on, which is what I'm trying to do. Okay, so it's like all I it's I'm going there trying to get to the bottom of this, even though all of this stuff is coming up in light of all of this negativity, and it's not just negativity. I mean, it's like these dawnings of rumors of what's going on in this scene. And, I'm just trying to get to the bottom of it. And I can't verify that there's no orders coming from George Soros or even from as nearby as LA. I would be surprised to see coordination between San Francisco and Oakland, just across the bay, beyond, well, Oakland is getting more raids. Let's try to get them over here. Let's try to take care of them. That's the kind of coordination that I only sort of, agenda that I had heard. And I would be more willing to yield to all of those negative stories if I heard the General Assembly all chanting one person, okay, instead of chanting each other. And chanting's the wrong word. It's more like a bullhorn response. I talked about that more in the previous week, though, because not every county allows a bullhorn. So this is a roundabout way in which people can still communicate on a large scale without one. So, all I know at this point is that it doesn't seem to be run from a central figure. And that's very clear from anyone that goes to the scene. And about later on in the day, the people come back from the march. And in them, I'm very elated to see one of my friends who's got the bullhorn. He's got his own sign that he made. This is Manny from East Bay, from the East Side. And he's rocking the bullhorn. He was totally welcome through the whole march. He was not pushed off to the side. He's from his involvement inside the Occupy scene. It is something that he is hopeful for and is engaged in, because I believe that he recognizes that these people are receptive. And that's something that I got from talking with people too. I could go up to these people and ask them, what do you think about Obama endorsing the scene? And they'll tell me, oh my God, just because he's endorsing it and doesn't mean he isn't bought by the banks. This was a quite a popular opinion, which gave me very, very much hope that the same person that I was talking with, in particular, though, that is standing out to me, was telling me that this whole scene, and I verify, you could bring up any of these subjects to these people. No, they'll hear you out. We're on the kind of the outskirts anyway. So Manny comes back, and he's all excited. He's all pumped up from this march, and I feel it too. I'm really pumped up, and like we're both just all jazzed. Of course, like the everyone's all pumped up from the march, so they all start like playing drums, and the drum circle gets really loud, and then that, it totally gets in the way of the communists start putting up the projector and screening commie movies. Manny and I decide, hey, let's go get the bullhorns and let's go to the Federal Reserve and let's truth it up. And like Manny and I have done like tons of truth actions with bullhorns, with a couple of our friends too. And I know where those messages go. I mean, this is us talking about the real history of the Federal Reserve. And we love police it up and remind people how awesome they are. And sure enough, I'm thinking like there's, I'll bullhorn until they tell me to stop, to say, hey, you're not the spokesman of this movement. And I'm there at the Federal Reserve. So I mean, this is headquarters. We've done bullhorning at the Federal Reserve, and it's never really received that well. You know, and people just sort of look at us like, you know, like dogs who have just been shown a magic trick. You know, like, huh? What? Really? Oh, okay, I'll hear them out. We truthed it up. I think it felt like we truthed it up there for a solid hour at least. Manny and I going back and forth on the bullhorns. And we got incredible support from all of the people running the kitchen at the Federal Reserve and security, the people hanging out. We can rock bullhorns because we have the experience doing it. And we were encouraged to keep doing it and do it more and more the next day and come back and do it. Because typically people with bullhorns there sound like the bankers destroy the economy. Not China, not unions. Arrest all bankers. Bankers collapse the economy. Not unions. You know, and just go on and on. I mean, those same four or five lines. It got to be like, is this a cult? Is this person just mantraing a cult? You know, and the rest of us, you know, and Manny come in, and you know, and we go into the history of the Federal Reserve. We talk about money, you know. We talk about, you know, how awesome people are creating this reality. We thank them for not being at home watching TV, you know, and engaging and making this a beautiful night. You know, we get an audience, to put it, you know, to put it bluntly. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying that we get experience doing it, and we get fired up doing it. We love doing it. And we've done that before in the context of in front of the Fed, in front of the farmers market. So I've done the truth actions there where the Occupy scene literally is, on market in front of tons of people, and we get incredible amount of violent ridicule, and you know, like people look at us with their heads cocked as if we're, you know, like just some curious act for them. And here at the Occupy scene, our message not only was tolerated but embraced. This was incredibly hopeful for me. I was determined at that point, if they're gonna let me rock the bullhorn, I want to be involved in this scene. I want to participate in this. They're endorsing my message in front of the Federal Reserve. This is awesome. This is awesome. This is a part of what I've dreamed of. And if there's anything to be said about this movement, this is what's going on a micro scale. This Occupy scene is the manifestation of the revolution of what's going on in people's minds. They sense there's something going on, and they're disturbed enough about it so that they're gonna occupy the streets. And they're gonna take place in that frame of mind of that there's something seriously wrong here. This Occupy scene is and this revolution of mine is so young and so vulnerable that it really can go either way. I can, although it isn't at this point co-opted, this is what I believe, in San Francisco, it has the potential to be, unless we participate and engage in it. And I'd like to elaborate on that a little bit more. It's hard for me to build to that when I still got so much more to say in the context of what was going down. At the tent city, there were, so this is at Justin Herman Plaza. I talked to a lot of people, and I saw a lot of, different actions. One of which was when I woke up in the morning, and I didn't get up really early. I think I got up about 9, 10 o'clock. And enough time, I think it was about 10 o'clock where I had all my tent taken down. Keep in mind, it was a beautiful night. There was, music going into the night. It felt, as one cop put it, just like vacation. When I woke up and got my tent all put together, there was just a meeting together of people for it wasn't a general assembly. It was just a sanitation meeting. And I forgot to bring up, that was the main concern at the general assembly, was whether or not, are we going to clean up for ourselves, or are we going to have to like yield so that the DPW, the Department of Public Works, it has to come in and clean up for us and steam clean and all that, in which case we have to take down our tents and we have to get off of the land, get off of the area, and we might not be able to get on. We're going to get vulnerable. Everyone decides, you know what, we want to clean up for ourselves, okay? We're going to sweep the streets. We're going to, you know, there's not going to be any trash left around. And when I showed up to that Federal Reserve, and when I showed up with the food, we also showed up with trash liners, and they looked around like, you see any trash here? There was no trash at the Federal Reserve. There was no trash, little trash at the Justin Herman Plaza, but it was enough of a concern. It was like, hey, let's pick up our own trash and let's set the example. Let's do it better than the city would do it. In the morning, when people were having the sanitation meeting, a subject came up about redesigning the encampment to just be able to design it a little bit better, so that, you know, the city's taken care of, and, you know, people aren't right next to, there's kind of like more of a smoking tolerant section and a noiser, louder section. And this leads into them talking about, you know, so redesigning the camp, like totally around, right? And then there's this other camp, there's this faction of the camp, I should say, that everyone seems to agree would be perturbed. They would want to know, basically, if they'd have to move. And sure enough, there was a bit of a, you know, hey, get down here. You know, that we're having a meeting discussing issues and it would involve you. And then there was some minor conflict that came up. One of them, from it seemed like they're the alpha male of this faction. I'll call him the bulldog, only because he seemed to have some anger management issues and he seemed to get very upset. You know, was had a lot of negative things to say about these meetings and being governed, and he wasn't going to, and he, you know, they were there to encamp, and they had a cause, and no one was going to tell them what to do. Gosh dang it. The meeting went on regardless, and policy came about. And sure enough, people were redrawing plans up. Throughout the day, much of Saturday, and even Sunday, I was, just through talking with people, I was only able to find three antagonists three sources of conflict throughout this whole city, this whole Justin Herman thing. One of them being the bulldog, okay? Apparently I don't know if they smoke a ton of pot or if they play a lot of music, but basically, you know, they were just a bit more rambunctious for the easygoing, peace-loving crowd. The other source of the other antagonist was apparently this homeless woman that was this old black woman that was probably, although accusing everyone of being racist, because you would, just being a part of the encampment that day, you would hear, "What the hell? I'm not racist. I love black people. How dare you?" You know, I mean, you hear that, someone shouting that every once in a while. She'd accuse someone of being racist when you kind of suspect, as a result, she's probably the most racist person there. The third antagonist was apparently this guy that was camped right next to me, and he was like totally loving, totally nice. Apparently, he just had some friction. There was some friction about moving his tent, which wasn't even set up anymore. So I mean, he just basically had a tarp taken off of the grass. He didn't like getting off the grass. Yeah, people have to get off the grass so that the grass can breathe. Everyone respected this rule. He didn't dead first. So, really, there's only two antagonists. From what I've heard from the person that was right next to the bulldog, that he's coming around. The people inside his group, that inside his encampment, are, you know, talking to him, and he's, you know, he's yielding a bit more. He's opening up. So really, just leaves this homeless black woman that seems like she's like first in line to get food and just kind of sucking up resources. Well, my gosh, what's the city to do about her? So, coming back to this metaphor of what this movement is, it's if those are really the only source of the friction at that. I was able to discover, and keep in mind, I'm just a guy, okay? I'm not living there, soaking up every single moment, you know, and engaged as I'd like to be. If those are the three sources of conflict, this is beautiful. This is incredibly hopeful. They're receptive to our message. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, I had used the metaphors of open and vulnerable to describe this. That this is a manifestation of the waking up of one's mind. This whole Occupy scene, at least in San Francisco, can be compared to a baby. Okay, now it's up to us. We can all like look at, oh my God, look at the parents of this baby. Oh, you know what? We don't know how this baby's gonna grow. Okay. It's just speculation until you get some figureheads in there, and you get some people in there engaging. Those are the people that are engaging and participating in this movement are the people raising this baby, okay? And the way the baby turns out is the way that it's going to be raised and fostered and nurtured. And now come back to my metaphor, okay? This is how important it is for us to get involved in this scene, because right now is our opportunity. This is like the window that's just opened, that's presented itself to us, the platform not only of truthers, to like, oh my God, a receptive crowd, a good chunk of people that's willing to listen. To think about that. A movement that's willing to listen. That's willing to hear someone out about 9/11 or you know, watch a movie. I mean, people are watching commie, you know, documentaries. I think it's cool. I'm not all down with communism, but I'd like to see that get countered with something else. For the, you know, for the baby or for the Occupy scene to be able to absorb and digest and be able to judge for themselves. I give enough credit to these people to be able to judge for themselves as I do anyone else. And you know what? When we came out with our message about the Federal Reserve, they validated that. They got behind that. Yeah, and the Fed. Last weekend, there were significantly less people that were aware about the Fed. I mean, there were some people, but there was a lot more people that were aware about the Fed. This is incredible. Now, at the same time, this is like the same movement is the golden door that's opening for the Vatican, right? If indeed this story is true, which I believe it is. I really believe I saw that headline, and I'll post on it all, you know, onto the website to say, you know what? This is the people speaking for a new world order. This is the people speaking for a new form of consciousness. Or George Soros to say something like that, or Al Gore. Now, it's if a baby is raised without a father figure, if it's raised not thinking for itself, then it's going to yield to someone that's going to think for it. And you know what? The people that I was talking to, I'm not entirely sure if Obama endorsed the Occupy movement. I had heard that he did, and that was enough for me to ask, hey, you know, what have you heard, or, you know, what would you think of if Obama endorsed it? Oh, screw that. This is in San Francisco. This is like Obama headquarters, you know, 4 years ago, okay? Not headquarters, but, you know, I mean, like, Obama's central. I mean, people love Obama in here. Hey, screw that joker. I'm not going to listen to Obama. Where is he? You know, how he's led to this. I mean, people are thinking for themselves. This is a beautiful start. And it's only out of desperation in which someone like Obama would endorse them as an obvious campaign strategy or a campaign ploy that would only backfire. And the only reason he would do something like that, it would be rooted out of fear. Oh my God, they're coming out of the banks, the people that financed me. I better try to roll with this or try to co-opt it. Try to bring it under my wing. And they can't. He hasn't been able to. And I don't even think the Vatican can. As if these people are Catholics. As if these people, oh wow, okay, well, wow, the Vatican says it's a good idea. We're winning. This Occupy scene is a sign that we're winning. Because just an inkling has sparked in these people that something is not right. It's coming from up above, coming from people that don't understand what's going on here on the streets. And when these people up above, like Obama and like the Pope or like George Soros or anyone else, you know, tries to speak for it, it's going to backfire. And the only reason for speaking up for it is to try to co-opt it. The real agenda, the real place where these things happen, it all of these different Occupy scenes, and this is beautiful because it's at a tribal level. Where the action happens is the General Assembly. It's the people actually involved in it. Those are the trustworthy people. Those are the where action's going to take place. So, it's up to us. It's up to us. This is our baby. This is our opportunity. It's an opportunity, folks, to support this and to nurture it in the way we want it to. I'm going to be showing up there with as many DVDs as I can next week. If I had a handheld projector or a way to project movies, you know I would. I just heard through Morgan's interview. Morgan is the host of Wiki World Order. They're having in Sacramento, they're having teaching, like teach outs or something like that, where people are teaching classes. I saw something similar here. There were facilitator meetings or something like that. I mean, where facilitators are trained, you know, hey, how to get stuff done when a bunch of people's involved. You know, I mean, that's not when I was sitting in on it, it's not a script like, okay, here's the people that you ignore. here's our agenda and here's how we're going to support our agenda. It was like, how are you going to get 50, 100 people? How are you going to count votes among those people? You know, how are you going to keep people on topic? And that ain't easy. That needs training. The other training that I saw was, what to do, nonviolent action, in the moment of a raid. And they staged a raid. They staged a better raid than I saw at Cop Watch. It was incredible. It was eventful to see. To build on top of that, not just training for activism, but a history class. Oh my God. Anyone could teach a history class in a park where people are occupying the park, just assembling in a park? Wouldn't that be awesome? At the very least, to see something come of this. Well, we can teach one another at a tribal level, fundamentals like history. This is like, how on earth could anyone not want to participate in this and be incredibly hopeful at this scene? Thank you so much, Manny, for participating in that march, for actually like taking that initiative before I did. This is a guy who is like, who interviewed me, right? And posted a video just on him doing it after like a brief tour, around the Federal Reserve and in front of the Federal Reserve. He interviewed me, and I'll put a link up to it, the video he made of the interview with me. And he labeled it, the Federal Reserve, tour or something like that, and an interview with an occupant. I mean, I was an occupant for a weekend. And, it's technically an occupant, though. And he's pulling together his talents and his creativity, just like everyone else is. That's what's awesome about this tribe. Some people are better at drawing signs. Some people are better just drawing. Some people are better at being voices behind bullhorns. Some people are better at teaching. Some people are just awesome at just being there and being a presence, being a strong presence, and which is significant in the event of a raid, or just an event of a march, or just being there, just occupying in the street. As someone had said, 95% of life is just showing up. These people are showing up, and they're good at it. People love to cook food, and there's people cooking food. This could be a new way of doing things. It's totally free. So, where I was going with this, thank you, Manny. Thank you for doing it, man. Showing up and doing it before me and showing me, oh my God, yes, showing me the hope. I think he released later on a video of, Occupy San Francisco reaches out to the police. And then on the video, he's announcing, that they're tyrants for participating in the New World Order. That's totally tolerated by the Occupy scene. Occupy's the 99%. We are the 99%. That's one of the things that we're saying on the bullhorns. And thank you, Morgan. Man, have I wanted to contribute to your website for a while. I was just trying to catch up to be somewhat as cool and as badass as you. This guy, Morgan, he I don't know if he'll say it. I don't know if he has a video of it, but went to a street action with him, and he made like these four foot towers, like there was like, and it was like bright neon, and there were the Twin Towers. It was like this giant visual aid, for people to see how fast the buildings fell, like through free fall speed, and how it couldn't fall through the path of most resistance, which is the top tower. So they had like this top tower, and then they had these two blocks, one falling through free fall speed, and the other couldn't fall through itself. Just pulling together his talents. Oh my God. Thank you, man. I hope to have my website as cool as yours, and I'm hoping to make music videos. You're just doing this ahead of me, and I'm I'm love to contribute to your site more. And gonna dedicate a song here to the Occupy scene. I'm totally instilled with hope. You all should be too. And I heard of an Occupy scene stemming up here in Palo Alto, or in my neighborhood. I don't have to go up to the city. Stanford, Occupy. There's San Jose. There's Santa Cruz. There's Oakland. And it's like, there's these Occupy scenes coming up everywhere in every area. And if there isn't one in your immediate area, it's receptive. It's an opportunity for you to start one. And it's so easy. Just show up. And every single community in which people show up, that community is your responsibility. As a participant of that community, to engage in its growth, to engage in its cultivation, in the way it get things done, the way it manifests and becomes, not only as a participant of that community, but as a parent raising a child, you are that influential in its growth, whether or not you recognize it. And I want you to be even, we all need to be even more influential. Instead of attacking things from a distance, like the military does, we can really get to the streets, reach people, and engage in small little pocket communities of love. Don't you think that's how the world should be? Make it. Be the change you want to see.
They tell us he should be afraid because the end is coming. Well, I don't believe the hype because I'm sensing something else. A new age of prosperity where everybody helps one another because they wanna. That's what's up with 2012. And you can make it happen. Just keep your focus on the universal energy that exists within all us. A forest can evolve from a single tree that has fallen. Peace and love will solve your each and every problem. I know it seems like we've suffered so many abuses that it's hard to believe that we're the ones who approved it. But wake up from your dream. You're a beautiful human, each and every one of you included in the movement. The movement of peace and truth, not revolution. A brand new reality, paradigm of our choosing. Everyone influences the entire unit of life on Earth, and it's coming soon. I hope you're tuned in. Well, sure, the earth is your friend. It's not about the end or death and destruction. It's about the connections that each one of us plugs into our group soul. So don't stress over nothing. It ain't even gonna be that much of an adjustment. No more being stuck in redundant dysfunction. No more corporate government giving us instructions. No more government at all or money to fund it. No more prisons or wars forcing us to submit. We'll all have equal access to every substance. Every resource on the earth will be free to the public. Kings and queens, every one of us honored and trusted. Without fear of judgment, we're open for discussion. Traveling the world around the entire circumference. America to London, having fun because there's tons and tons of love. And love's abundant, and that's what's to come for everyone who wants it. Love.
We all sense it. An event that will change all life on the face of the earth is coming soon. It's impossible to know exactly what this event will be, so we're looking for answers. What can we expect to happen? Will this be the end? Unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation out there, and a lot of people believe that this event will be one of global catastrophe. If you happen to think it will be the end, then I'm here to tell you that.
The world keeps turning.
Back again.
just assured the Earth is your friend.
Nothing is set in stone, my friend. The upcoming event will be whatever we imagine it to be. We're all creating it together. Each of our thoughts and desires focused on a single point in time and space. Imagination is the key. The universe knows nothing more powerful. So when you think about 2012, just remember, you are the one who creates reality. Created beautiful.